Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. And don't forget, if you enjoy The Sweet Spot, we would love you to like, comment, share and subscribe. We've got a cracking tournament coming up this week. To preview, it's the fifth major, the Players' Championship. Steve will be telling us who he fancies to tame Sawgrass this year in just a jiffy. He's also conjured up some good bets, he thinks, for the magical Kenya Open. First of all, though, let's look back on a thrilling, absorbing, compelling, dramatic finale to the Arnold Palmer Invitational on Sunday. Really one of the most spellbinding tournaments I've seen in absolutely ages. So many different players coming and going at the top of the leaderboard, but in the end, the bookie's friend Kurt Kitayama, who led after rounds two and three and bravely hung on in there while all the big names, all the fancied runners came along, looked like they were going to swamp him. He held his nerve while others lost theirs and got the business done at round about 175-1. So big result for the bookies. And a big result, Steve, for people who just love to sit there and watch top golfers struggle.
Absolutely, Bruce. Yeah, couldn't have put it better myself. If you're a neutral enjoying that golf tournament, you couldn't have asked for more. Yeah, you've got the underdog. Yeah, you'd be cheering on the underdog. He's such a nice chap, Kurt Kitayama. It's only the betting community that might not have found it quite as entertaining, because you had so many fancied runners that went favourite, you know, short price favourite. Let's not forget, John Rahm was around the 7-4 mark on after that brilliant first round, faded away. Scottie Scheffler started Sunday as favourite. You had Jordan Spieth took over as favourite. Tyrrell Hatton, our man, he was 11-8 favourite at one stage, and then he made a couple of blunders. You know, he three putted the 12th. Terrible bogey at 13. And then, of course, Rory McIlroy went odds on for the golf tournament. Rory McIlroy odds on until he bogeyed 14 and 15. So, yeah, all the big guns faltered. Uncle Arnie was watching down from heaven, laughing his socks off, you know, because the last tournament that was as gripping as this was the 2022 Arnold Palmer Invitational. The weekend setup at Bay Hill really tests these elite golfers. And, yeah, I was delighted for Kurt Kitayama, but as a punter, it was heartbreaking.
So that was five players went 2-1 or shorter and none of them won. That's extraordinary. Really, really is. And Steve, the feature on Sunday was that nobody could make a putt. I reckon literally for an hour and possibly an hour and a half of the coverage on Sunday night, not a single player made a putt of over 10 feet. And then on 17, I think Kitayama did. And that was basically, yeah, he buttoned it down from that. A great shot into 18. He really did show a lot of character, didn't he? I mean, he's not a big name, and while this will help to elevate him to a degree, the one thing you would say about the guy is if it's fairways and greens you need and bottle, he's got those in his locker, hasn't he?
Well, as I say, delighted for him, because, yeah, you see, he's not a big name. He actually had a very, very disparaging nickname at college. They called him The Project. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, yeah.
The Project. And, it's quite an unkind nickname, because basically they were saying that he was such a poor player that it required a lot of effort from him and his coaches to get him to a decent standard. And The Project was to turn this, because he was such a good egg, they wanted to invest time and effort into him. The Project was to get this average player to a tour standard, and eliminate. They've done it now. They're at the age of 30. He's a PGA Tour champion. He's played all over the world. Europe, Asia, literally every tour in the world. And here he is now. He's cemented on the PGA Tour at last.
And I think he broke the record for the fewest DP World tournaments to get two victories. I think he got two in his first 11. So as I say, he knows how to win, and that quality can stand you in good stead in the heat of battle. Because was it the ninth he made a complete pig's ear of? And a lot of people would have absolutely wilted after that. But to come back as he did and hang on in there like that was extraordinary. I thought it spoke volumes for him.
Yeah. He was very unlucky on that hole, because he went just out of bounds, didn't he? Mm. Yeah, left of that path was out of bounds. So, yeah, he took a seven at the ninth. And, yeah, you think that's, good night, Vienna. Whatever that means. And, he fought back well. I mean, the bookmakers, we're not. Yeah, they're the enemy, and we're the punters, they're the enemy. I wasn't pleased with how the night went for the book, because of the darts went their way as well. Did you see that?
Oh, God, Van Gerwen getting beaten by Gilding.
Andrew Goldfinger Gilding. So, the swing for bookmakers. Rory McIlroy winning at Bay Hill, Michael Van Gerwen winning the UK Open, or Kurt Kitayama and Andrew Goldfinger Gilding. Yeah, if anyone's allowed to still bet these days, the liability differential would have been massive.
Absolutely. I mean, talking about John Rahm, Steve, it did look at one point on Thursday like he could absolutely run away with it. But I suppose he was due, you know, with hindsight, and no one called it beforehand, for the wheels to come off, because no golfer just keeps playing amazing golf forever. But the wheels came off in outrageous fashion. What happened to him?
He slipped into Boxy there. Richard Boxy likes to say that quite regularly. It's not possible to play good golf for that long.
I mean, besmirched me so badly there. Oh.
He's absolutely right, because there's been only one player that's ever done it. Yeah, Tiger Woods, yeah, always played well. But John Rahm been playing great for Fantastic. He hit a wall, didn't he? Sorry, I can see you're really rattled.
I'm really reeling from that, being likened to Richard Boxall.
He hit a wall, didn't he? Because, yeah, these elevated events have come in thick and fast. You know, I think we might get a little bit of elevated event burnout this week, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, they're all elevated these days, aren't they? I mean, what do you call a devalued one, or one that hasn't been elevated? They just aren't, are they?
A low down one,
do need to think of a better name for them as well. We talked about that last week, didn't they? Like a platinum event or something.
Yeah, we did talk about that, and they do. But yeah, John Rahm just suddenly hit a wall. Yeah, but he probably peaked in that first round. It was an amazing round, and then faded away. But yeah, bookmakers laughing their socks off. We're gutted for Tyrrell Hatton, and we were gutted.
I felt for you there, because he had that birdie putt, didn't he, on the par five, and he actually looked like he'd hit it perfectly. And it went just past the hole and then just kind of accelerated again. And then he was obviously so annoyed that he's missed the one back. But that was that was classic Hatton, wasn't it? Effing and jeffing, like swishing his club after a bad shot, pointing at the turf and sort of doing mad kind of gesticulations. He's actually almost a joy to watch, I think. And I noticed as well that I noticed, you know, they've got this new thing where they hook a player up and they play a hole with them, basically. They did it with Fowler, and Fowler did it very well. Yeah. I don't think they dare go near Hatton with that, because that would have been brilliant, wouldn't it?
No, there's only so many players they can do without, your Homers and your Mitchells. But Hatton, he did just lose his way there. But you're right, it was a bit unlucky. It was an aggressive birdie putt on that par five, wasn't it? And he just wandered off. Those greens do get crazy. Fractions, fine margins. He was close to winning that tournament. Then we were close in... Well, we weren't that close in Puerto Rico, but we had chances there.
We'll touch on Puerto Rico in a minute, Steve. But before we do, I do need to have a very quick rant again, I'm afraid, about the Sky coverage.
I'll sit back.
That was such a captivating tournament. It was so exciting. It was so unlike most tournaments in that so many players were involved. They were struggling like mad. And the Sky commentators were absolutely on autopilot, I'm afraid. And they just went through the motions. They didn't capture the drama of it. There was nothing along the lines of how many putts had been missed and just how incredible that was. It was just half-hearted, and I'm sick of it. They need to put their back into it. Put some effort into it. We pay your wages. Entertain us. I don't want non-stop rabbiting and people trying to hype up stuff that isn't worth hyping, but that tournament was extraordinary, and you just carried on as if it was at any given Sunday. I was not happy. Anyway, rant over. Yeah, tell us all about the guy who won down in Puerto Rico. I must admit, it's a new name to me.
Yeah. Nico Echevarria, Colombian rookie. He was 125-1 for that. His form figures coming into the event were miscut. He's a course debutant, 28-year-old. So he was a difficult one to find. Our man Sam Stevens, because Harrison Endicott pulled out before the event, so we only had two in that. Sam Stevens was third going into the final round. I was dreaming of the Hatton Stevens double. You know, that was worth a pretty penny. But he ended up finishing 15th, and Ryan Gerrard finished 11th. So c'est la vie.
It certainly is, mate. I don't think there's too much else we need to say, is there, either, from that tournament?
No. We've got a big tournament too. We've got an elevated event that's got an even bigger prize fund for this one.
Right. Well, let's tackle that then without further ado. It's the Players' Championship. It starts at amazing Sawgrass on Thursday. And here are the latest indicative prices. As we always say, shop around for best odds and also best place terms. Rory McIlroy, currently 9-1 favourite. John Rahm, 10. Scotty Scheffler, 10. Patrick Cantlie, 14. Justin Thomas, 18. Max Homer, 20. Colin Morikawa, 22. Xander Schauffele, 25. Hovland, 25. Finau, 28. Day, 28. Zalatoris, 30. Hatton, 30. 33-1 bar. What a field. What a course. What a tournament. Steve, tell us all about the setup.
Yes, I shall. The famous stadium course, TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, 7,275 yards, par 72, four par fives, Peak Dye Design. It's hosted since 1982. From 2007 to 2018, the tournament was staged in May. In 2019, we went back to a March date. So that means lusher terrain, the ball doesn't roll as far, but the greens are more receptive. We've got 144 runners going to post, $25 million in the kitty, $4.5 million to the winner. And the weather forecast is great. Last year, the weather forecast was the weather was terrible, ruined the event a little bit, although we did have the winner, which we enjoyed, but we got a bit lucky with the draw. This time, it's a mixture of sunshine and clouds, temperatures in the low to mid 20s, light to moderate breezes throughout. So no draw buys this year.
And Steve, before we get onto the nitty gritty of who you fancy, isn't it incredible? This time 3 years ago, they abandoned this after one round because of COVID. We're into the third anniversary of entering the real hard yards of lockdown. It's been some 3 years, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah. This was the moment where we were all quite frightened, weren't we? Yeah. If they're cancelling players' championships, then what the heck is going on? Thank goodness we're still here to tell the tale.
Here's something else before we get into your headline, which we will in just a moment. What links these players? Aniban Lahiri, Lee Westwood, Jim Furyk, and Jimmy Walker.
They've all come very close to winning this tournament.
They're the last four runners-up of this tournament.
Oh, there you go.
Which is incredible,
yeah.
Isn't it? Who'd have thought it? Because you've had big-name winners. Well, I was going to ask you, what does it just go to show?
Well, it goes to show.
Or are
you
just going to do one of those hypothetical ones that women say? They just say, it just goes to show, you know, old ladies at bus. Just goes to show, doesn't it? And you're like, what?
Well, I mean, we can't get through this podcast without mentioning Craig Perks. I mean, what it does go to show is that, you know, outsiders can threaten in this and I have won this, you know. You know, Craig Perks is probably our favourite player of all time. Certainly, brilliant. Craig and Maureen are our favourite golfing couple of all time.
Yeah.
Anyone can win this. You know, as Rod Studd was trying to tell me on Sunday night, as Andrew Goldfinger Gilding was winning the UK Open, you know, in any sporting event, any result is possible. I think since Tiger Woods and Phil Taylor have gone from the game, there are no bankers. But that's not
I know exactly what happened there. You've had a big bet on Van Gerwen, haven't you? And you've like in your lamentations, you've texted Studd, the darts commentator, and gone, how on earth's that happened? And he's just hit you with the pulling classic. In any event, anything can happen.
Well, it is jolly well true, isn't it? It is jolly well true. I just think since Tiger Woods is semi-retired, let's say, Phil Taylor is retired. Those were the only two sportsmen in my lifetime where you knew they were going to win. Yeah, we haven't got anyone like that anymore.
Man United, they were probably similar as well from a team perspective. Yeah. Right then, everyone's hanging on, waiting to see who you fancy. So how many selections have you got first?
Four!
Lovely stuff. And who is going to win it this year your humble opinion, but it's not humble, it's a learned opinion.
I'm not a right honourable gentleman, am I? I mean, you've got to have some law degree to be a right honourable gentleman, but you can call me an honourable gentleman if you wish.
Okay, mate.
And I believe that Colin Morikawa is the best value bet for this golf tournament, 25-1. I think that's a generous price about a player who's produced some magnificent golf this year. Morikawa's ball striking this year has been exceptional. His putting performance in the opener in Hawaii was hugely encouraging. And he's even shown a bit of chipping form. You know, chipping is a bugbear for Morikawa. He was holding chips from all angles at Riviera last month. So I think, yeah, there's been that body of work from Morikawa this year means we can forgive last week's miscut. He missed the cut by a shot at Bay Hill last week. I don't really care about that. He was a little bit loose off the tee, but it'll tighten it up. And missing that weekend, the aforementioned weekend, you know, the grueling Bay Hill weekend is a perfect little pre-sawgrass, you know, breather for Morikawa. I think it'll turn into an advantage for this. He showed at the end of last year that his ball striking was coming back to the level, which made him a two-time major champion. You know, let's not forget, we're talking about a two-time major champion, a young two-time major champion. He signed off with sixth place in the Hero World Challenge at the end of last year. Started this year he was magnificent for the vast majority of that Century Tournament of Champions. I know he didn't stay up for those late night Hawaii ones, but he looked like he was going to win that golf tournament. John Rahm went bananas at the end. Morikawa has since been third in the Farmers Insurance Open, sixth in the Genesis Invitational. So last week, just a blip for me. He's already won a PGA Tour event in Florida, the 2021 WGC at the Concession. You might remember that one. And Sawgrass is a perfect place for him to show off his iron play. You know, he's still the best iron player for me. He made his player's debut in the ill-fated 2020 edition. You know, expunged from the record books. You know, it's not expunged from our record books. Colin Morikawa tied seventh in that tournament, essentially. It was a one-round event, and he finished seventh. Carden is 68. He was 41st in 2021. And last year, missed cut, forget about it, forget about it. Huge draw bias. Morikawa is out in the worst of the conditions. Yeah, I had very, very little hope. And this year it's going to be fair. And yeah, it's a class act on a big prize.
Nice one. Okay, Colin Morikawa. We're off and running with Steve's Sawgrass 4. Who's the second selection?
It's Max Homer at 20-1, who we've been on a lot lately. He won for us at Torrey Pines. He nearly won for us at Riviera. We like backing him in California, but we don't mind backing him in Florida either. He used to live in Florida. There's a lot of courses in Florida where his iron play is very useful. He's a fantastic iron player, like Morikawa. And Sawgrass, you've got a lot of approaches with water around, and you've got to be accurate on approach. And again, he was on the wrong side of the draw. You know, Morikawa and Homer both had bad draws last year. Homer battled through and closed with a 66 and finished 13th. So, you know, fantastic effort last year. That was when he was world number 36. Now he tees up as world number 7. You know, how far can Homer go? You know, he's so consistent. He's won 5 PGA Tour titles in the last 25 months. Yeah. Who can live with that? He's got the right game for Sawgrass. He's got the right temperament for Sawgrass. You need to be cool and calm. You know, you can blow yourself out of the contention in a flash here. Homer's such a measured character. It's Homer time again. It's Homer time.
Brilliant. Okay, excellent. Who's your third tip?
It is Siwoo Kim.
Your old favourite.
He's love
this, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's won this. He won the Players' Championship at the age of 21. A bogey-free final round to win by 3 shots. I mean, what a performance. Siwoo was a prodigy. You know, he was brilliant as a teenager. He's underachieved considering how good a start he made to his career. He's a 4-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 27. But we know when Siwoo gets in that zone of his, he's capable of winning anything. He's shown in the President's Cup that he's got the heart of a lion. And at Sawgrass, you know, he knows he can win this tournament. He'll walk tall. He would have been gutted by that 2020 edition being ended prematurely. He opened up with a 65. He was in second place. Yeah, he was in second place. Maybe he would have won a second player's title if COVID-19 hadn't ruined all the fun. In 2021, he finished ninth. Last year, done by the draw, like Morikawa and Homer, bad first round. He had injury issues as well, and he withdrew. This time he's in great nick. He won the Sony Open in January. He carded an under par round at Bay Hill on Sunday. So he's a must for the staking plan.
What price is he?
66-1.
Jolly good. And completing the quartet?
It is the King of the Visors, keeping the faith with Keith Mitchell. 55-1, Keith Mitchell, playing so well. He was 4th at Pebble Beach, 5th at Riviera, 24th last week at Bay Hill. Loves teeing up in Florida. His PGA Tour debut in 2017 Valspar, he finished 11th in that. His one PGA Tour victory came in the 2019 Honda Classic in Florida. He's a good enough ball striker to handle Sawgrass. Nobody's driving better on the PGA Tour than Keith Mitchell. And in that 2020 edition, I don't know if I mentioned it, it was expunged from the record books.
No, what happened? Why?
He opened up with a 68. So he was in 7th place before COVID-19 came in. So, yeah, he can play Sawgrass. He loves Sawgrass. He was 13th last year. He was on the right side of the draw and he finished 13th. So, yeah, this is a Mitchell brother.
I admonished myself last week because you tipped Fowler and Mitchell, and I should have picked up during the show the EastEnders theme, and one of our commenters mentioned it. Yeah, I was devastated.
Yeah,
I
did see that. He was clever. Was that the one that said it looks well hard to pick the winners?
Yes, it was very good. That wasn't it.
The dog.
I was going to say, imagine if Henry Cotton had still been playing, you could have tipped him as well, couldn't you? But
yeah, I think Keith Mitchell could be the toast of the Queen Vic on Sunday. Yeah, he's playing really well. He's an underachiever. Remember when Rory McIlroy said about Keith Mitchell? Rory McIlroy was playing with Keith Mitchell. He said, "I can't believe how good he is. Like, why is he not winning tournaments?" I think
why isn't he winning then?
Well, it's not easy to win, you know, psychologically getting over the, the old brain box can get you in trouble, yeah. But I think soon, he's still a young man. I think the floodgates will open for Mitchell at some point.
Cool, nice one. Should we talk about some of the fancy contenders quickly? If I and don't forget, in the Racing Post tomorrow, there will be player comments for all the leading contenders. Are we doing the whole field, or how many are we doing, Steve?
Yeah, I think we're doing the whole
field. So every single player in the field, Steve will be giving a bespoke comment in tomorrow's Racing Post. You can get that in the newspaper, or if you're a Members Club subscriber, you get the digital edition delivered to your device at 9 p.m. the previous evening. Check that out. It's a fantastic new service. But we will just get a quick line from you on each of the fancy contenders. I mean, McIlroy and Rahm are the two at the head of the market. Which of those do you fancy the most?
I think McIlroy is the best of the top three by a long way. Yeah, that's
Of course, Scheffler as well. What am I on about? It's a three-way go, isn't it?
Well, they're always gunning for that world number one status, aren't they? I mean, it just it's just the baton is handed around seemingly every month. I mean, the switch from May to March was fantastic for McIlroy. Yeah, much more his cup of tea now. He didn't really like it, and you know, didn't have a great record in May. But he won it in 2019, and yeah, I think he's the man of those top three. I mean, yeah, Rahm, I think, hit a wall last week, and his Sawgrass record, nothing to write home about. You know, famously hit that disastrous fairway bunker shot that went in the water. He got too aggressive. So, yeah, I don't think Rahm's got the temperament for Sawgrass. Scheffler, he looked as angry as you'll ever see him after the post-round interview on Sunday.
Oh, really?
He's a little bit
snapped. Seen him remotely angry.
No, you're right. Such a cool bloke, you know. But yeah, there was a couple of rubbish questions from the reporters, and he got a little bit snappy with them. But yeah, he would have been furious what happened on the 72nd hole. You know, making bogey after a perfect drive. You know, taking all the pressure off Kitayama. He should have been birdieing that hole after that drive. He's never done anything at Sawgrass. Yeah, so yeah, McIlroy's the best of the front three, but I want bigger prices.
Okay. Now, good news for Thomas backers is I've added him to the list of players I'm never backing again. You know you have that list, don't you? And you back someone, they lose, and you're like, that's it, never again. And I added him to the list on Sunday because I backed him at halfway and his putting was just lamentable. I just think in the heat of battle, his putting tends not to stand up to the test. I thought his putting was almost risible at the weekend. Yeah. So I've written him off. So that probably speaks well for his chances, doesn't it? And yeah, I like him now because I finally completed the first edition of Full Swing, where he wins. What does he win? He wins the PGA, doesn't he?
He came
across as a thoroughly nice lad. So what do you make of Thomas's chances?
Well, yeah, the putting is becoming a real concern again. He's wasting so many chances, but the rest of his game's looking in good fettle. And he obviously won this, a couple of years ago. So I do fear Justin Thomas. I hope he has another bad putting week because he's on my list of fears.
Okay, mate, brilliant. Have we got anyone
else? With sharks and crocodiles.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else we should be? Anyone else we should be mentioning here, or should we move on to the big one?
I did just want to mention one player that's not playing because I think it's a fascinating story. It's Ben Taylor, who is an Epsom boy who's been in great form on the PGA Tour. And he scheduled his wedding for this week, assuming he's not going to qualify for Players' Championships.
Goodness.
If you look at the list of players that are qualified and they're not playing, all of them are injuries apart from Ben Taylor, who's getting married. And, that's a tough start for the Taylors, turning down the chance of a $4.5 million check.
Ooh, blimey. Yeah, that's a bold decision, isn't it?
but it's love, isn't it?
It must be love, yeah. The soon-to-be Mrs. Taylor, she's got a good one there. I mean, he's turned down the chance to play in the Players' Championship to go through with his wedding, which, he hasn't made fortunes, but he's going to be all right financially. I'm sure he could have rung up the venue and you said, could we just put it back a little bit? So, that's a fascinating story. Well, good luck to Ben Taylor and his soon-to-be bride. Hope you have a lovely day, and I hope that you don't live to rue that decision. Interesting. Right, shall we move on to the magical Kenya Open, Steve?
Yes, it is magical.
Is it? Okay, we'll find out why after I have furnished you with latest betting. And as things stand, Antoine Rosner is favourite at 16-1, and then Robert McIntyre. McIntyre seems to be on this, I'm going to play every week until I win. I don't care. Until I win, I'm playing. He's 20-1. The player I can never pronounce, Otagay, is 22. So is Arnaus. Ashen Wu, 28. Marcel Seam, 30. Can he go back to back? Campillo, 30. Becker, 30. Brun, 30. Sharma, 33. And then it's 35 bar. So all I know is this tournament is taking place in Kenya. Would you like to enlighten me on a little bit more?
I shall. Matega Golf Club, Nairobi, Kenya. 7,228 yards, par 71. Plays a little bit shorter as its altitude. 4 par 5s, 5 par 3s. Matega has hosted the Kenya Open 41 times. Most recently on the Challenge Tour in 2017 and 2018 and on the DP World Tour last year. Tight, fiddly tree line test. The honours board is full of accurate drivers. We've got plenty of breeze in this forecast. Not much at Sawgrass, loads at Matega. 156 runners going to post.
Right, so you need to be accurate then. Does that sound like the key attribute here?
Absolutely.
Mm. And you were telling me yesterday, you pointed out a fantastically named player down at the bottom of the list, Visitor Mapwanya. He's qualified, the toast of Zimbabwe, 2,500-1. So good luck to Visitor. What a great name, mate.
Fantastic name. Yeah, you wonder what's going on in the... Is that a name in Zimbabwe?
I don't know.
I've never heard anyone called Visitor before.
You know, no, sure I haven't, but I think it's nice. I think it's a lovely name.
I'll try and speak to his mum one day and get to the bottom of that one.
Yeah, okay, fine. Right then, I don't know whether you'll be tipping Visitor Manyama. We'll find out who you are tipping. How many will there be in the portfolio this week?
There'll be six. I don't like having this many, but they're no short prices.
It's fine, mate. You go for however many you want. You've got to be versatile in this game, haven't you?
That's it. Yeah. No short
six
prices.
Tips. Right then, who's the headliner?
The headliner is Jaden Trey Shaper. we've been waiting for this lad's career to take off. You know, he's clearly good enough to become a superstar. He hasn't got off the Sunshine Tour yet. I've got him down as the next Bernard Langer. For many a moon, he's looked like a young Bernard Langer to me. Yeah, he's got the hair, that similar hair, and similar games to Bernard. They're very, very precise operator. And yeah, he's better than the Sunshine Tour, and he knows this. And this is a great opportunity to get onto the DP World Tour. He's in great nick. He ended last year as an almost permanent fixture on the Sunshine Tour leaderboards, and his last seven starts on the DP World Tour have yielded form figures of 18-9, 26-9, miscut 17-13. He was really solid in India last time out. Four rounds of par or better at a quirky course he'd never seen before. This week, he tees up in his home continent at a track that he knows. He was 34th there last year, arrived in poor form, finished 34th. The course plays to his strengths. He turns 22 next week. I think he'll be celebrating his 22nd birthday with a DP World Tour card.
I hope he gets to hear this, because I think that would really inspire him to find someone like you comparing him to Bernhard Langer. That really
I think his career progression will go boom as soon as he gets off the Sunshine Tour. He just needs to win one of these co-sanctioned events.
Okay, and what's the best price you've seen about Jaden Trey?
40-1 is what.
40-1. Okay, we'll rattle through the rest of them. Who's the second favourite? Second pick, rather.
Another sweet spot regular. It's Marcus Kinholt. Also available at 40-1. We like backing Marcus Kinholt on short courses where his accuracy, typically sharp short game, can come to the fore. Matega is ideal for him. He's shown that in his previous two visits. He's finished 12th and 8th in two starts here. Last year's Kenya Open was the latest of those. And he's been bright recently. He was 6th in the Andalusia Masters in October. He was 8th in the Dubai Desert Classic in January. He's had a couple of nice spins on the Nordic Golf League circuit for his last two starts, 11th and 8th. He's a DP World Tour champion, 2019 British Masters. Still only 26. You know, this is baby face. Yeah, he's been a ring. And like Siwu, another prodigy. Yeah, he was the baby faced assassin when he came onto the scene.
He cannot be just 26. That's amazing.
Still the baby faced assassin because, you know, essentially he's still a baby.
Goodness me, I can't believe that. Right then, okay, who's the third tip?
Adlian Sadia!
Another
sweet spot regular. Another sweet spot regular. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2016. He nearly won at Matega in 2017. He was second in the Kenya Open. He likes competing in Africa generally. He was sixth in the 2013 Nelson Mandela Championship, seventh in the 2018 South African Open, seventh in last year's Dimension Data Pro-Am. And he's got 5 months of really solid form behind him. You know, maybe we're finally going to get Adlian Sadier over the line.
You shocked me there, the venom with which you pronounce Sadier. So, yeah, okay, I'm all right now.
66-1 Sadier.
Okay, so we've got Jaden Shaper, we've got Marcus Kino, we've got Adrian Sadier, and you've got three more, all at longish. Are they longish prices or officially long prices?
One mid-range, two enormous.
Go on then, let's have the other. Is it the other mid-ranger next?
Yeah, the mid-ranger is Ewan Ferguson at 55-1. He opened up at 66s. It's just a ridiculous price, 55-1 now. He led this tournament. Yeah, born winner. Led this tournament by four shots at Matega last year going into the final round. You know, he admitted he was nervous as hell. He shot 76, finished 8th. But what a manful reaction to that defeat. He said, I'll be better next time. You know, I'll learn from this. I'll be better next time. 3 weeks later, he wins the Qatar Masters. Then he's not done. He wins the ISPS Handa World Invitational in August. Nearly completes a hat trick in the Maiden Himalayan. So, you're absolutely right. Ferguson, is a winner, and he's one of the best players on the DP World Tour now for me. I love his swing. I think he's a class act. He's accurate. He's well suited to this course. And yeah, we're getting that juicy prize because he's had a couple of narrow miscuts in Singapore and Thailand. Don't worry about that. I think he gets.
And he's got a score to settle with this tournament, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's a good player at Ewan Ferguson.
Brilliant. Right then, who are the two long shots? I'm looking forward to hearing these. Well, I've heard of them. Do you think?
Well, yes. Yeah. Because we got a 250-1 chance here. Who we backed at 250-1 for the Indian Open the other day.
Okay,
that is Jens Fabring.
Oh yeah.
Jens Fabring contended for 53 holes of that Indian Open. Then he made a mess of the 18th hole and then had a poor Sunday. But he did okay for a long way in the Indian Open last time out. He was third in the South African Open just before Christmas. He contended, all the way, 72 holes in that one. He's back in Africa this week, a course he knows well. He was a playoff loser at Mateka in the 2018 Kenya Open. So. Yeah, he's a neat and tidy player, suited to this task. Two-time Challenge Tour champion. I think you hang around the leaderboard all week.
Excellent. And completing the six tips.
It is Francesco Laporta, 125-1. Another two-time Challenge Tour champion. Strongly threatened on the DP World Tour. He's a two-time runner-up on the DP World Tour. He went well for a long way in the 2021 BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Finished sixth in that. So when Laporta finds a groove, he hits fairways and greens. He's well suited to Mateka, and he proved that in the 2017 Kenya Open there when he finished third. So, great each way value, Francesco Laporta.
Brilliant. Okay, anything else to add on Kenya?
I had Mark Langdon, of all people, was asking me about Robert McIntyre. He's saying, why is Robert McIntyre a favourite for every DP World Tour event when he doesn't win any of them? I think it's a fair question. He won the Italian Open last year, but he's proven really expensive to follow, isn't he? So I think the market's corrected itself. You know, McIntyre was favourite on opening shows. Antoine Rosner's taken over now, and I think Rosner definitely deserves favouritism. He's been in rock-solid form. He won a similar event in Mauritius just before Christmas. So, Rosner was really, really tempting, but I just went for bigger prizes.
I suppose what you could say about McIntyre is that at his best, he could blow this lot away, couldn't he? But hasn't been showing it.
I mean, really lackluster. Yeah, you're absolutely right with the scheduling. He seems to he wants to play in all these low-grade DP World Tour events. Yeah, trying to impress Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald, I think. Rosner for me is clear favourite. You could have the McIlroy Rosner double as a little cover shot, if you will. I've got my 10 tips.
Right then, let's hear those again. We've got four for the Players' Championship. Who are?
Colin Morikawa, Max Homer, Siwoo Kim, my lord, and Keith Mitchell.
And in the Kenya Open?
Jaden Trey Shaper, Marcus Kinholt, Ewan Ferguson, Adrian Sadier, Jens Fabling, and Francesco Laporta.
Brilliant. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. Busy week for you. Are you just going to be devoting yourself to golf, or is there anything else in life that you're going to spare some time for?
I really want to attend Weymouth FC versus Chippenham Town this evening, but I might not finish work in time, and a few technical issues have delayed me even further, haven't they? It's a massive six-pointer tonight.
Is it?
A big, huge game for the Terriers. I want to be there to watch Chippenham freeze.
Chippenham had a good cup run, didn't they?
Well, Chippenham. I don't know whether they're called the Chips. I don't know what their nickname is.
Oh, yeah, I think they are called the Chips. They went deep in the FA Cup.
Did they really? Well, hopefully they're exhausted. It's going to be a cold night tonight. Yeah, 3 degrees. Who wants it the most?
I think producer Will has got an even bigger job than normal, trying to keep your hair and your chin in shot because they're so far apart now. What's the latest on the haircut? It must be looming, isn't it?
March 15, March 15.
Oh, that's next Tuesday, so you're a week away, aren't you?
I've been getting a lot of stick for my hair. So the wife said I like the in-betweeners character who puts all the gel in. I can't remember. What's the in-betweeners character who over-gels his hair? But if I don't put gel in, then it'd be even higher. So,
Have you booked that? That's the first day of the Cheltenham Festival. Are you going to show your disdain for it by sitting in the barber's chair and the champion hurdles being run?
I guess I might be. Yeah. I don't know me horses that well, but now we're all looking forward to that.
Very much so. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. Back next week we've got a couple of championships. What are they called again? I think we've got the Valspar and we've got the SDC Championship. Where's that taking place?
South Africa, new event in South Africa. And we got another Live Golf Tucson.
Oh, we got another Live as well.
Golf Tucson.
Brilliant. So hopefully we'll be reflecting on a good week for Steve's selections, and hopefully you can join us for another sweet spot next week.